May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We're in Advent season is a season we wear dark blue, but today we celebrate the feast of St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was a real person, spirit-filled bishop who moved in signs and wonders. One of the things that St. Nicholas did was there were two children that were missing. There was a really evil person, kind of like a Jeffrey Dahmer guy, really psychopath, sociopath. And Nicholas found them. They were dead, and they'd been stored in a pickle barrel. And he raised them from the dead. That's one of the stories of Santa Claus. True story. So there's more to them than the chimney thing. Yesterday we were talking a little bit about one place in 2 Corinthians 3, and I know that daily we have different people who come, but let me just read a couple of verses to kind of get you caught up a little bit. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, actually. This is verse 16. Paul says, For we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day, and for a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then when he gets down in verse 6 of the next chapter, he says, we're always of good courage. And if you read earlier, in chapter 4, he talks about, verse 7, we have this treasure, the life of Christ in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God, not from ourselves. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for his sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our flesh. And so the whole context here, if you read the first part of chapter 5, is again Paul talking about momentary light afflictions. And Paul certainly suffered a lot of different things at the hands of other people and persecution and stuff that he went through. But he said, even though our outer man is decaying, there are things that we experience that are painful in this natural world. He says, yet my inner man, and he uses the word us, even though our outer man is decaying, all of us, afflictions are common things. I don't care what theology you create, and I don't care what you confess and decree and declare, there are going to be painful things that happen in your life, things that you have no control over, maybe because of other people and what they do. But Paul says that these afflictions, he called them momentary light afflictions. And he says, and here's the thing, is that they're actually being served as instruments. They're producing an eternal weight of glory in me. As long as, while I'm not looking at the things which I can see, but as long as I keep my eyes on the things which are eternal. So even though our outer man's decaying, our inner man's being renewed day by day. And I think the thing just from personal experience, Olivia and I, those of you know, we've walked through sort of a weird place these last 4 weeks, a lot of momentary light afflictions. And it's been a very difficult situation for her physically, and then it's been a stretch for both of us because I am the primary caregiver. This week I started coming in from like 10 to 2, but I'm home after that, and we do the thing that we do. But what's been reinforced with me, and this has spoken to me, so I'm just kind of giving away fresh biscuits that I've had to eat myself, is that the real issue wasn't about what's going on around us. That's one thing. We pray into that. We do all that stuff, healing, do warfare, understand all that. But what's more important than any of those things is my inner man has had to stay renewed. Because when there's not the daily renewal of my inner man, no matter how yucky it is on the outside, it gets yuckier if on the inside we're not doing well. Have you ever discovered that? No matter how yucky the situation that you're in, the pain that you're experiencing, if on the inside you're not experiencing renewal, it gets more painful and yuckier. Because that thing that you're walking through no longer seems momentary or light. It seems like a burden beyond your ability to bear. So the real deal is renewal. And he uses the word, even though our outer man's decaying, our inner man's being renewed day by day. And he says it happens if, in the midst of what we're going through, we keep our eyes. The word there, he says, for we look not at the things which are temporal or things that were physical, but the things which are eternal. That word look is the Greek word that we get the word scope. Like if you get a scope and you put it on a gun so you can make things bigger, you can see it clearer, it's the word scopia. So he says, we got a scope. We got to like zero in on the eternal things. Because God wants this situation until it's ever resolved, even if it means it's going to happen through supernatural healing or deliverance, he still wants this thing to produce an eternal weight of glory in you. Two words you need to understand. The one word is holy. The word holy just means other or distinct or unique or set apart, that which is unique about something, set apart about it, distinct about it, other. And then the word glory. There's a lot of discussion about the word glory, and I guess you could forever do that. We will forever in eternity. But the word glory is an Old Testament word that really means to have an opinion about somebody or something. Literally is the word opinion. What you think is true about something that has value and beauty, or someone. That's the word glory. Alrighty? So this is glorious. There's something glorious about each of us. There are things in nature that have a glory to them. You've been to plays or seen movies. There are some glorious things about it. We can see glory, find something that's have an opinion that's true about something that's honorable or beautiful or special about anything or anybody. But there's something about God's glory that sort of elevates the word into a whole different realm. And what's God's glory is all about his holiness, God's nature, God's attributes. He's so other. He's so unique. He's so different. His love's not like your love. His peace is not like your peace. His power is not like your power. His strength is not like your strength. His morality is not like your morality. His joy is not like your joy. He's just other. And it's that otherness, the holiness of God, that identifies his glory. That's what's beautiful about him, is his holiness. So those words are interconnected. All righty? The otherness of God, distinctiveness of God. Trying to do this as a teacher in a real quick way, but listen to what it says. Beholding or looking to that which is eternal produces an eternal way of glory. This is the same person carrying on the same conversation just a few lines earlier. But we all with unveiled face behold his glory. Like we're mirrors. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's what he's saying. That in this world of momentary light afflictions, you and I have got to make sure we're scoping out the glory of God. And for us, the glory of God is particularly manifest in the person of Christ. That we keep our eyes on Jesus and his otherness. See, unveiled face just means I'm really honest and clear about my not holiness. I'm very common in my humanity. I'm very much like anybody else, just would get impatient or frustrated or scared. But he's other. He's just other. And as long as I behold his glory, as long as I'm scoping out that which is eternal, then this momentary light affliction, instead of it becoming this unbearable burden, it becomes a momentary light affliction, because there's this weight of the glory of God that begins to, that's transferable unto me. You with me? Let me give you an example. Because we can behold the Lord's glory, his beauty, the otherness of God, in our prayer life. That's what it's all about. Worship is all about just getting with him. David said, here's the one thing I desire that I want to do the rest of my life, is dwell in the house of the Lord and behold his beauty. And then let's talk about it. Whatever I see, with all my new discoveries, let's just talk about it, because it's endless. That's Revelation chapter 5. We have all these four living creatures, these four angels, who have eyes without and within, gazillion eyes, all of them, and they're constantly gazing at the throne, at God, Jesus. And every second, never endlessly crying out, holy, holy, holy. Like, oh my goodness, beautiful, 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 other, 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 wow, 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 glory, 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 glory. They need all those eyes. It's like, but they need all the lenses they can get, because every millisecond they're, you with me? So listen, I love this verse. This is Psalm 34. Listen to this. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him, or looked on him, and were radiant. And their faces shall never be ashamed. You see, God's glory, his splendor, his radiance, as we look to Jesus, whether in my prayer time I look to God or I look to Christ who is in me, the hope of glory, the point being, if I keep my eyes on him, on the Lord, the radiance of his beauty begins to become transferable. An eternal weight of glory is being produced in me, released in me, manifested in me, which begins to outweigh all the afflictions. What I've discovered is that when you spend your life beholding his glory in every situation, in the situation, in you for the situation, then his glory becomes your environment that you live in, no matter where you go. And it becomes so heavy and so weighty, it outweighs everything else that you deal with. And one of the consequences is, here, all your fears get delivered and all shame gets broken off of you. Because there's no room for shame and fear in the environment of glory. Because one of the aspects of God's beauty is he doesn't put shame on you. He's a God of absolute mercy and forgiveness. He certainly doesn't carry any fear. There's no fear in the glory of God. In the context of his beauty, there's no fear. See, I don't know about you, but I'm a lot like Peter. As long as I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, beholding his beauty, I can walk on water, man. But the minute I get my eyes off of him and I start looking at the things which are seen instead of the things which are eternal, I start to sink. Because fear set in, reality sets in. I sought the Lord. I got in his presence and I beheld his holiness, his beauty, his glory. And he set me free from all my fears. Not because you're trying to get set free from fears. There's no room for fear in the midst of the glory of the Lord. Amen. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.